The Theology of Jeremiah, The Book, The Man, The Message, John Goldengay, IVP Academic, 2021, 160 pages. A Brief Book Summary from Books at a Glance, by Benjamin J. Montoya. About the author. John Goldengay, PhD, University of Nottingham, DD, Archbishop of Canterbury at Lambeth, is Senior Professor of Old Testament at Fuller Theological Seminary and lives in Oxford, England. His many books include An Introduction to the Old Testament, A Reader's Guide to the Bible, Biblical Theology, the 3-volume Old Testament Theology, and the 17-volume Old Testament for Everyone series. He has also published his translation of the entire Hebrew Bible as the First Testament. He is a Church of England minister, and now that he is back in England, likes walking by the Thames, rediscovering English food, worshiping in Christ Church Cathedral, and relearning British English. Editorial disclaimer. We at Books at a Glance hold enthusiastically to our stated theological commitments. Please note that John Goldengay, whose work we feature here, holds some critical positions that are inconsistent with these commitments. For example, he denies that the prophet Jeremiah is the author of the prophecy. Benjamin Montoya, PhD, will address this matter in his review. We offer the summary here for its overall value as an overview of the book of Jeremiah, especially for its connections to Christian theology. Furthermore, Goldengay is clearly familiar with the original text of Jeremiah, and his insights from his time in the text are apparent. Introduction. What should we know about Jeremiah as a prophet, his message, and his relevance for today? John Goldengay is an Old Testament scholar with lots of insight into the book of Jeremiah. Consider our summary to learn more. Table of Contents. Part 1. The Man, the Scroll, the Story, the Messages. Chapter 1. The Man and the Scroll. Chapter 2. Reading Jeremiah Backwards. Chapter 3. The Themes in Jeremiah 1 through 25. Chapter 4. The Themes in Jeremiah 26 to 52. Part 2. The Theology of the Jeremiah Scroll. Chapter 5. God. Chapter 6. The People of God. Chapter 7. Wrongdoing. Chapter 8. Being a Prophet. Chapter 9. The Future. Part 1. The Man, the Scroll, the Story, the Messages. Chapter 1. The Man and the Scroll. Chapter 1. The Man and the Scroll. To understand the book, or the scroll more specifically, of Jeremiah, we must consider a little more about Jeremiah himself. Jeremiah's background comes from that of a priestly family. What is particularly important about that is that he would have been engaged in teaching and counseling in Anathoth. This background would serve him well when God called him to become a prophet. God called Jeremiah to become a prophet at a young age. Jeremiah's words, then, must be considered to be God's word because Jeremiah spoke for God himself. Jeremiah also suffered greatly and provided many lamentations as a result. Chapter 2. Reading Jeremiah Backwards. In many ways, it's important to read the book of Jeremiah backwards, in the same sense that we consider the Gospels. The Gospels remain relevant to us in so many ways, but they differ because although Jesus suffered and died on the cross, he was resurrected and ascended to glory. Jeremiah, however, suffered and died, but there was no resurrection. Jeremiah suffered greatly for his work. He was persecuted by all kinds of people, even political rulers. What lessons, then, can we learn from the book of Jeremiah for today? There are several. Jeremiah's life may seem like a failure, but the fact that we still read and learn from his book today shows that God can use what seems like a failure to his glory. Jeremiah took significant risks to deliver the words that we now have in the Scriptures. God was faithful to Jeremiah for faithfully declaring his word. Scripture's warnings still hang over God's people. God's word can sometimes get through to people when their defenses are down, especially when they are unprepared to be hit by it. How scary it can be that we have God's word in writing, and how taking that for granted is as effective as burning it. How dangerous it is to ignore God's word. Even when people seek to destroy God's word, silence it, drown it, or even ban it, God's word will keep resurfacing. Chapter 3. The Themes of Jeremiah 1 through 25. There are several central themes in Jeremiah 1 through 25. First, Jeremiah calls us to consider the Exodus as a way of understanding how God deals with his people. It is supposed to be a lesson for God's people then and today to consider how God relates to his people, especially how he provides for them during difficult and uncertain times. It is a call to remember God's faithfulness in that beginning time of their relationship with God leading them that they now seem to have forgotten. Second, Jeremiah calls God's people to think about the temple. God's people were acting like they did not understand the significance of God's temple being with them, taking it for granted and even desecrating it by worshiping other gods. God has taught his people the importance of taking his worship seriously throughout their history, but once again, they forgot this lesson. Third, Jeremiah exhorts God's people to remember his covenant with them. Israel's primary problem is their violation of God's covenant or pledge that he made to them. That is the source of all their problems. God will curse people who violate his covenant, and this covenant was not a negotiation of sorts. God imposed it upon his people. But God also takes his covenant seriously, such that disobedience is divine treason with serious consequences. God has grace, of course, but there are real curses for violating God's covenant. Fourth, Jeremiah shows the importance of prayer. Jeremiah has all kinds of prayers to God in this book and in the book of Lamentations. One distinguishing factor about his prayers to God are that Jeremiah calls upon God to act for his name's sake. These are not simply self-serving prayers. They are prayers intended to ask God to act for his own best interest for his people. This topic, of course, naturally transitions into a discussion of God's sovereignty, the next lesson. Fifth, Jeremiah highlights the topic of God's sovereignty. The story of the potter and the clay in Jeremiah highlights this topic. Although we may struggle with the topic of God's sovereignty, God himself certainly does not. He is sovereign. He knows the future very well. So then, why send Jeremiah to exhort God's people when God knows what they will do? If they turn from their wicked ways, God will be merciful. But God is the potter in charge of the clay. Sixth, the final lesson in this section is God's commentary on human government. Jeremiah shows us how God punishes governments that do not give due attention to the nation's moral and social order. God is not just concerned with the government doing other things, but these matters also matter deeply to God, such that he blesses rulers who look to them and curses those who do not. The book of Jeremiah contains plenty of lessons and contrasts about this matter. Chapter 4. The themes in Jeremiah 26-52. This section of Jeremiah has several prominent themes. First, Jeremiah calls God's people to think differently about the reassuring prophets who only tell people what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. Few people want to hear about their sin and need of repentance, but hearing peace, peace, when there is no reason to have any, is eternally and temporarily dangerous. Second, Jeremiah asks God's people to think of restoration and returning. Despite God's punishment and exile of his people, he promises and predicts that he will restore them as a people to their own land with a Davidic ruler, and that they will return to the land. Third, Jeremiah commands God's people to think about what is written. Putting a message into writing goes beyond merely having it in spoken form. This medium requires us to consider it more carefully and makes the message more enduring. The issue, then, becomes remembering what God wrote by reading it and then following it. Fourth, Jeremiah forces God's people to reflect upon tragedy and trauma. Unfortunately for Jeremiah, this tragedy and trauma began in his own life with how God's people treated him. Why did they do this? Their treatment of him was a reflection of their attitudes toward God himself. Fifth, Jeremiah requires God's people to consider Egypt. The connection is simple yet profound. God's people must rely on him, not temporal earthly powers who will one day not be so powerful. But it was hard for God's people to avoid trusting in what was seen in human power versus God's sovereign power. Sixth, Jeremiah focuses on God's word regarding the empire. The reigning empire during Jeremiah's time was Babylon, a strong force of an empire. Yet, God made it clear that he was using Babylon for his purposes and that Babylon would fall one day. No empire is over God's sovereignty, even if he temporarily uses them as his agent. Part 2. The Theology of the Jeremiah Scroll. Chapter 5. God. What does Jeremiah teach us about God? Yahweh is Israel's God, and Israel is God's people. God is a master and king of his people. God is a director, an authority figure. God is a teacher and disciplinarian. God is a husband and provider. God is creator and Lord. God owns this world. It belongs to him and no one else. God is sovereign over all nations, not just his people. God is the only God despite the existence of other gods in other nations. God makes it clear that Israel does not need to worry about foreboding signs in the heavens, whereas other nations have good reason to worry. What, then, does Jeremiah teach us about God in Christian theology? God is one and is the only true God. God is omnipotent. God is omniscient. God is omnipresent. God is eternal. God is self-sufficient. God is immutable. God is impassible. The God Jeremiah speaks of is the incarnate Jesus. That said, the tough side of God present in the book of Jeremiah is also present in the person of Jesus. Chapter 6, The People of God. Jeremiah has several theological lessons regarding God's people. God's people are his possession, a household, and a community. God's people are his country and his domain. God's people live in a city that is his, and he has given them a Sabbath to keep. God looks out for the well-being of his people. God works through leaders of his people, not directly, in other ways typically. What, then, can we learn about God's people in Christian theology? Although Christians today often think of God relating to them primarily as individuals, and he does, God also relates to his people in their communities. Healthy leadership among God's people still matters. Despite conflicting reviews regarding the relationship between Israel and the church, Jeremiah has important lessons to teach us. Jeremiah speaks with more than one voice about Israel's security and vulnerability. The New Covenant provides a way for at least part of Israel to become faithful to God from the heart. If Israel is ever to get back its land, it must be a renewed Israel that is faithful to God. Jeremiah would not have understood God's people without a specific land. Chapter 7, Wrongdoing. One of the major themes of Jeremiah is the sins of God's people and others. So, naturally, there are plenty of lessons on this topic. God addresses the unfaithfulness, rebellion, waywardness, transgression, and heedlessness of his people throughout Jeremiah's prophecies. God recognizes the taint, corruption, and profanation of his name among his people. God speaks to the shame that his people feel as a result. God calls out the stupidity and mystery of his people's disobedience. God outlines the self-interest and greed of his people. God faults the leaders and ministers of his people for the wrongdoing of his people because they are misleading his people. God points out the stubbornness of his people. In Christian theology, sin is no less of an issue in individuals or in God's people as a whole. Christians, however, are called upon to confess their sins and seek God's grace in their lives, as is exemplified in various confessions of faith. Chapter 8, Being a Prophet. Jeremiah has several theological lessons connected to being a prophet. Prophets are part of God's intentions. Prophets are commissioned by God and no one else. Prophets are vulnerable and protected. Prophets are identified with God himself. Prophets are also identified with Judah. Prophets pray against God's people for their sin. For Christian theology, there are several lessons. First, Jeremiah may not have entirely understood how some of his words would be fulfilled in the New Testament. Second, Jeremiah's prophecy helps us how to think through what purported prophets today might say. Do they say the opposite of what we think? Does their message agree with what is in Scripture? Do they hold together past, present, and future? Do they get attacked by God's people, especially by its leaders? Do they love the people of God? Do they intercede? Do they avoid making a prophet from being a prophet? Do they get martyred or miraculously rescued? Is it hard to make sense of their message as a whole, and does their message seem inconsistent? Do they combine threat and promise? Do they persist year in and year out? Do they frighten us? Are they independent of the structures and payroll of God's people? Are they offensive? Do they speak poetically and act dramatically? Jeremiah would encourage us to seek a yes to these kinds of questions. Chapter 9, The Future. Jeremiah speaks of the future in several ways. There's a threat of wrath, redress, devotion, and shame. God's threat of wrath can be avoided with repentance. The devastation of God's wrath will not be constrained without repentance. The time of the devastation can be constrained with repentance. God promises a restoration and pledge toward his people in the New Covenant predictions in Jeremiah 30 through 33. David and Levi play a prominent role in God's promises for his future of his people. God speaks to living in between the times in his predictions of the future. For Christian theology, we must learn God's promises for his people still matter for our own day. Jeremiah would also want us to note that only some of his words are noted as fulfilled in Jesus already. Jeremiah speaks to the coming of the Messiah, but Jeremiah has much more to say. We, then, ought to look to Jeremiah as primarily forthtelling the truth of God's word, rather than primarily foretelling the future. Copyright 2021, Books at a Glance. Books at a Glance book summaries are available by subscription only, and except for brief quotes, may not be reproduced in whole or in part without express written permission.